Welcome to everyone here for our gathering this morning. Several things. First of all, if you were in the class downstairs this morning, I was filling in for Bert in the class that's been mentioned a couple times, the spiritual quadrant of discipleship. It's been an excellent class that Bert has taught down there. If you've been down there, you know what excellent material that he's been presenting. This is really something that's important to the leadership here. The elders feel very strongly that we want as many as possible of the congregation to be exposed to this phenomenal material that helps us to kind of be more balanced in the way we approach the way that we follow Jesus. And I misspoke this morning downstairs in the class. I said there was another week, but actually today was the last day for that class, and so I kind of wrapped up the discussion this morning. But if you missed the class, it is going to be offered again on Wednesday night. So that'll be not starting this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday will be the first opportunity for you to get in on that material, and it will be in room 204, which is the corner classroom right over here. And there's a misprint. There's some guides out there in the foyer that tell the listing of classes. There's a misprint in there that says it'll be in the fellowship hall, but it will not. There's another class going to be in the fellowship hall on Wednesday nights. His class will be in room 204, so please take note of that. But we want to really encourage you to consider being a part of this class if you've not been, because the eldership here feels it's pretty important that you be exposed to this material as we move forward. So I'm just so encouraged about what I see God doing among us here in this place. God has really blessed this congregation in so many ways, and one of the ways He's blessed us is He has given us some really great leadership in our shepherds. We have some fantastic men that are shepherding this flock, and they are really trying to think very intentionally and with some vision about how we move forward as a church in some ways that are going to honor God, help us to be more healthy as Christ followers, and help us to have a more of an impact in this community and this world. And I'm just so excited that what I see God doing through these men. It's an exciting time in the life of this church, and I hope that you're starting to sense that, and you sense that even more in the days ahead. It's really an encouraging thing. So we've had a lot of things going on this morning, a lot of really fantastic things that we needed to get in front of you as a congregation. And I don't envy David Holloman with all that bank of announcements that he's had to do this morning, but he's done it in a masterful way, and I appreciate so much his effort there. But because of that, I'm just going to call an audible. I had a sermon prepared for you this morning. It's part number 2. In the series called Practical Grace, and we're looking at how God calls us into holiness and living a life that honors Him. And so that lesson that I'd prepared, and if you got the handout, just put it in your Bible, save it for next week, and God willing, we're going to go there next week. But I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning that I just feel led to talk to you about in light of where we are in the history of this church. So this is completely extemporaneous. I don't know what's going to come out, and I'm depending upon the Lord, the Lord's help, and the help of the Spirit to kind of lead us in our thoughts this morning. So here's kind of what I want to share with you, what I feel like I need to share with you. You've had 6 names that have been put before you. Now, this is not a willy-nilly kind of procedure, right? We didn't just throw these names out. We've been going through a process. And it's been a great process. I just hand it to our shepherds under the chairmanship of Randy Purrier in particular this year that has kind of led us through a very intentional process of looking at additional shepherds that we're going to be installing shortly to help us lead the congregation forward and help to really kind of support the current shepherds and help them carry the load in this effort. So we've been going through an intentional process, some very intentional steps along the way to make sure that we're handling this in a very wise way. And so after months of prayer and months of intentionality, this morning you've heard 6 names that have been put before you. Now, that's not the end of the process. It's time to really amp up our prayers. It's time to really be even more intentional about thinking about the men we want of these 6. Which of these 6, maybe all of them, maybe not, which of these 6 do we feel like God is really saying now is the time for these men to serve? I appreciate the fact that the elders have recognized something Scripture makes clear, and that's this. In Acts chapter 6, the early church was growing so rapidly, and there were so many great things occurring in the church that, man, they couldn't keep up with it all. That's a great problem to have, right? The number of the disciples are multiplying so greatly that you're having problems with the organization of some of this thing. And part of the problem was there was so much work to be done that there were some people that were being neglected. Namely, there were some widows from a Greek descent that were being neglected and were having a hard time making sure that they had the necessary things they needed, the food and the clothing that they needed to be able to survive. You know, the early church was real intentional about making sure to take care of each other. They would sell possessions and give the proceeds to lay at the apostles' feet to make sure everybody's taken care of. Well, guess what? There were some people, maybe there was some prejudice there, I'm not sure, but there were some Grecian widows that were being neglected. It came to the attention of the apostles. The apostles said, no, this can't happen. We got to make sure these widows are taken care of. But now notice what they did. The apostles didn't step in and say, well, I guess we got to take care of this. Neither did they somewhere in a back room somewhere say, well, let's figure out some guys that we can put in charge of this. No, they recognized the authority of the congregation. And in Acts chapter 6, the apostles said to the congregation, select from among yourselves 7 men that you believe are full of the Holy Spirit and have certain character traits that would make them the kinds of men that we would want to entrust to this task. You see, the apostles recognized they needed to put the burden on the congregation to raise up leaders from among themselves to see to that task. And our shepherds, as we move into this process of choosing additional shepherds, have followed that model. Amen? They followed the biblical model. And they're putting it before us. And so now we have these 6 names to consider, and to consider very intentionally and prayerfully and purposefully. And we don't need to take it lightly. We need to be very sober-minded. We need to be very wise, and we need to be very prayerful, asking for God's direction and leading about the men that will be added to this leadership. And here's why I would say that. Let me share with you from 1 Timothy. This is not a passage that that we often turn to that often whenever we're dealing with a elder selection or shepherd selection process. We often, you know, turn to the character traits in the previous chapters. But there's something else that Paul tells Timothy about leadership in the church in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning at verse 17 through verse 22. Listen to this. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well. Seems to be something implied there. It's possible for elders to not direct the affairs of the church well. But he says, for those that do direct the affairs of the church well, they are worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by 2 or 3 witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone so that others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and do nothing out of favoritism. Verse 22. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Now, there's a lot contained in these verses. First of all, it is pretty clear here that Paul's expectation is that the elders that have been chosen from among us are in positions of leadership that have the responsibility of directing the affairs of the church. That is their their privilege, or maybe I should say their burden, their responsibility that God has placed upon them in their servant leadership is to direct the affairs of the church well. But then he goes on and he says, you know, sometimes you're going to have leaders that are bad leaders. And he says, you know, be careful, though, before you bring any accusations against one of your leaders, because you need to make sure that you're not going about this thing with favoritism or partiality, but instead make sure that you have two or three witnesses. If someone has a problem with one of the leaders in the church, we need to make sure that we're going about that in a very, very careful way. But then he goes on, and then this verse that maybe you in the past in your Bible reading have thought was disconnected or disjointed from the context, when it says in verse 22, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands. Now, what's that about? That's very much connected in the context. And the idea is this. In the early church, the way in which people were sent out on certain specific tasks or missions in the church often involved a ceremony, if you will, or a recognition process where there was the laying on of hands. You see it like in Acts 13, whenever Paul and Barnabas are going to be sent out on a mission from the church. You see that there's prayer and fasting over them. You see that there's the laying on of hands. It's kind of a visual representation to the entire congregation. These men have our support. These men have our confidence. We believe in these men, and we are charging them with this task. This is the role of the laying on of hands. Now, in this context, we're talking, it seems, about leadership roles. And whenever there are men that are going to be charged with the task of leading the church, there would also be a process of laying on of hands, this idea of saying, we believe in these men. We're giving these men our affirmation, our confidence. We believe in them, and we're willing to follow their spiritual direction and leadership. But now notice what he says. Don't be too quick to do that. Don't do that mindlessly. Don't do that because you feel like, well, everybody else feels like that this would be a good leader, and I've got some hesitation, I've got some reservation, but, you know, I don't want to stir up the pot. No, he says, listen, as a congregation, we need to take this very seriously, not be too quick to lay on hands, because if you do, you may share in the sins of other people. You may endanger the health of the church if you're too quick to appoint a leader that somebody might feel like, hey, we don't think he's ready yet, or we don't feel like he's really God's man, or we don't really feel like that he is bearing the fruit of the Spirit, or we don't feel like that maybe we would have confidence in his spiritual leadership. Don't be too quick to lay on hands. Be very intentional, very thoughtful, very prayerful. So with that being said, I'll just close my thoughts right there and just simply invite all of us to do this. And that is, and here's what I'm inviting you and me to do, is to take our current shepherds seriously. That the form that David showed on the screen and the forms that are in the foyer today is not just like a formality that you should just pass by and say, well, I'm good with those guys, I won't give them a second thought. We all, every one of us, need to take the names of these men and their wives before God in prayer and spend some very concerted, intentional time, perhaps in prayer and fasting even, over the names of these men and ask God, God, we want you to raise up men that are going to help us, that are ready for this, that'll help lead the church where you want the church to go. And we need to be very, very, very intentional about it. And so our current shepherds have said, we got a form here, and if I heard David correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I heard you correctly, you said you want every baptized member of the church to fill out a form on every one of these men. So that's an expectation that all of us fill out a form for every one of these six men saying, okay, I believe this man should serve. I'm willing to affirm his leadership, follow his leadership. Or if you've got some reservation, some reason why you think maybe he's not ready or he doesn't have the fully developed character traits we read in Scripture yet. Or if you just feel like, hey, I don't think he's going to lead us in a good and healthy way. I just don't have confidence in his leadership. Then have the courage to say that. The elders have assured us that these will be confidential. And I believe that with all my being. But they're asking for our help so that we don't violate this passage and be too quick to lay on hands upon any leader. We want to make sure that we are really going about this in a way that will honor God and give Him the glory. And here's the thing about that. This is not a popularity contest. And it's no character assassination either. And we should not treat it that way. These men, I'll tell you this about these six men. These are good men. These are God-honoring men. And I'm convinced that they are full of God's Holy Spirit to the degree that if they get some feedback that says from our current leadership, from the feedback they've gotten from the congregation, that the congregation has a little bit of hesitancy for some reason about one of them, I feel confident that those men would take that seriously and say, you know what, I'm going to listen to the voice of the Spirit through the church, and I'm going to be willing to say, you know what, maybe now's not the time. And by the flip side, if the congregation says, yes, we have confidence in you, then imagine what that does for a man that's going into a leadership role like this that says, you know what, I feel like God is affirming through the voice of the congregation that, yes, now is the time. There is a time and a season for everything under heaven. I have seen, and I know you have too, I've seen it here in this church, there have been men that have been put before us in the past that for whatever reason, it just wasn't the right time. It just didn't feel like the right time, and they weren't appointed. And then later, the time came when the time was right. And so I think all of us here, these six men and all of us as a church, what we want to do is we want to, first and foremost, we're not interested in, this is not a social club. This is not a democracy of electing some kind of officials. What this is the family of God and us wanting spiritual leadership that honors God. And we all must recognize that and see that and give God, make sure that we keep our focus on what is really most important and what this is really all about. So let's have a prayer about that, and then we'll have an opportunity if anybody needs to respond to Christ in some way, you can do that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you have given us so many men in this church, even more than we're on this list of six, that we had such a list of names of people that were submitted that are good prospects for being leaders in your church in this place. And Father, that's such a blessing. And because of that, it gives us confidence that to think that in years to come, that there will be wave after wave of men that when the time is right, they will be put forward and will serve in great capacity to lead your people in this place. So right now, Father, we just pray over the names of these six individuals. And I just ask, Father, that you give them humility of spirit, that you give them a reception to the bigger picture of seeing, Father, that this is something that needs to come from you. And so, Father, I pray that you would use all of us in this congregation through dedicated prayer and fasting and through time of real introspection and thinking through each of these men's names, that we will put forward to affirm the men in this list that you would want for such a time as this, for right now. Father, give us all love in our hearts for each other and for these men. Give us a holy intention and an honorable perspective as we move through this. Thank you, Father, for our current shepherds who are so wisely leading this process, and help us to trust them as they work through this process. Father, we want ultimately everything that happens in this place to be to your glory and your glory alone. We repent of any kind of attitude in us that wants to make a name for ourselves. We repent of arrogance and pridefulness. We repent of any kind of intention in us that wants to posture or push agenda. We repent of any intention to want to build a church. But instead, Father, we want you to be glorified through everything we do. Because, Lord Jesus, you told us that the church is yours, not ours. And that you will build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Guide us, Father. Give us wisdom. We ask without any doubt, without any hesitation. We know you'll give it. Give us wisdom. Bless these men and their families. Bless our shepherds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you all stand, please? This morning you may have been here and you're thinking, as we've been led in some of these wonderful songs, and appreciate Robbie leading us, or maybe you've heard some of the scripture that's read this morning, and maybe in some way, something that has happened this morning, you feel like God's just speaking to you, and he's saying, you know what, now's the time. Now's the time for me to get my life where it needs to be with God, and I've been resisting him, and I've not been open to what he's been telling me in my life, that I need to direct my life toward him. You know what, maybe now is the time for you to center your life back on Jesus. And if we can pray for that for you, we'd love to. Our shepherds are going to be represented in the library. If you've got a personal request, some kind of counseling need, they're here for you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I realize the most important thing in this world is for me to be right with the Lord. And I never have done that to start with. And maybe it's now is the time that you want to come to Jesus. And you want to surrender your life to him in repentance and baptism. If we can help you in any way, we're the family of God here, and we're here for each other. So if you got a need, just make it known by coming forward as we all sing together. Robbie, would you lead us?